So pretty incredible readings. The first reading proclaims what God is already doing. The sense of the wonder of what God's love can do and can achieve. The sense of God renaming us, recalling us. And then the second reading proclaiming what it was that so many of us experienced last night. That incredible gifts of the Holy Spirit being poured out upon the church. And it's appropriate that we reflect on gifts, because the gospel today, this incredible gospel from the Gospel of John, he said, where does it take place? At Cana in Galilee, the disciples have gathered for what? A wedding. And what do you do at weddings? What do you bring for the bride and groom when you celebrate a wedding? Presents, gifts. Yeah, because the wedding is actually one of those symbols, one of those signs that you find all throughout Scripture. If God wants to remind his people what the kingdom of heaven is all about, there's one thing he will talk about, and that's a wedding feast. And so the gospel began by saying, on the third day, there was a wedding at Cana in Galilee. Now, if you hear that phrase, on the third day, what do you think about? The day of the resurrection. There is this incredible truth that nothing in John is ever accidental. Things unfold in the Gospel of John according to his own sense. And so when he says on the third day, it's telling us that something significant is about to happen. Something incredible is about to unfold. So there's this sense of the wedding. Remember, within Jewish culture, a wedding wasn't something that just happened in an afternoon. You didn't meet the church at 2 and then go to the reception at 6 after the photos were taken. The wedding would go on from day after day. You know, it would be a great feast for the whole village, and everyone around would come and gather in that celebration. So here, when we're told that the wine provided for the wedding had run out, I mean, this was a calamity. How could you celebrate? How could you have a good time if there's no wine, if you're not able to warm your heart with this incredible gift of wine? And so then we're told that there were these 6 stone jars customary for the washing that the Jews would do. Can I have 6 volunteers to come and stand? Yeah, you want to come out and just stand on the front here. I think that's 5. Thank you. Again, for John, remember, nothing happens by chance. So these six stone water jars. If we think back to creation, and there are so many allusions to the story of creation in this gospel. That's why Jesus calls his mother woman, a reminder of the creation of Eve. That first woman, at the first kind of sign. If we look at the days of creation, does anyone know what happened on the third day of creation? On the first day, God said, "Let there be light," and there was a separation of the day from the night. On the second day, there's the separation of the waters above the earth and the waters below the earth, and the creation of the sky. The third day is the separation of the waters from the land. So the first 3 days of creation are all about separations. So already the first mention, so the third day is already this sign of creation. The creation of water, the creation of the separation of water from land. On the sixth day, there were 6 stone jars. Sixth day, what happened on the sixth day? Creation of animals and the creation of man. Yeah, the sum of all creation happens with the creation of man. So in John's gospel, I remember, nothing's happening by chance. So these 6 stone water jars are signs and symbols of all the best that we can do within ourselves. What are they filled with? Water.
No.
I mean, water's pretty good. It's not bad. When you're sweating like a pig at the front of the sanctuary, it's a really good thing to drink. And I like water. Water is cool. So what are some of the good things that we as humans can achieve, we can do? Think about art, about music, about literature, about sport, science. If you think of these 6 young people here as signs of all these different things that humanity is capable of, each of them expressing just, you know, something good, something quite incredible. But they're just filled with water. Who's ever had some water to drink?
Oh, no.
This is actually a test question to see if people actually put their hands up, and no one outside put their hands up. I didn't look. Okay, the next question, and if your parents are outside, you may be careful in answering. Who's ever had wine? Wow. It's a little bit of a different experience, isn't it? To have wine over water. I mean, water's cool, It satisfies, it refreshes, it restores. We can't live without water. But what's the difference that wine makes? What happens when you've had a glass or two or three? You get happy. What else? Wine begins to take on a bit of an edge, doesn't it? There's something kind of different that happens when we have wine. And I think that John is pointing to these six stone water jugs. They're looking pretty good for six stone water jugs, aren't they? But representing, again, you know, the best of politics, the best of science, the best of humanities, the best of art, the best of music, the best of literature, the best of everything that we can achieve within ourselves. But there's something more. There's something more that we haven't achieved, and we can't do according just to our own strength. And that's the difference that Jesus makes. And so that's why Jesus turns this water into wine. You can sit down. When at the beginning of the feast, Mary comes and says to Jesus, they have no wine. It's a sign that they have no joy. They have no life. They've lost everything that they've been looking for. It's an echo of all of the prophets. It's an echo of so many holy men and women across the centuries within Judaism that realized that. They'd lost the spark. They weren't able to achieve that fullness of life that they knew God had called them to be. Remember back in the desert when Moses called the people of God together on Mount Sinai. You can read the story in the book of Exodus in chapter 19. And there God calls a people. Until that point, God had spoken just to individuals. He spoke to Noah, he spoke to Abraham, he spoke to Isaac and Jacob, and then to Moses. But here in the wilderness, he addresses not just one person, he addresses the whole of the community gathered together, the hundreds of thousands of Israelites and all of the mishmash who traveled with them out of the slavery of Egypt into on their journey towards the promised land. And here, on the mountain of Sinai, in the desert, the Lord addressed all of them and said, I will be your God, and you can be my people, and you can be a consecrated people, a holy nation. God wants to partner with us. God wants to call us. God wants us to be his people, his hands and feet in the world, to be his sign. But he also knows that left to ourselves, we'll achieve good things. We'll achieve, you know, certain elements of goodness, of greatness, of kindness, of truth, of justice that each of these six stone water jars represented. But it'll be pretty boring. It'll be just like drinking water. Yeah, it sustains us, but it doesn't excite us. It doesn't bring that fullness of life. And that is why Jesus came. As we've had quoted already a couple of times during the last few days. You know, later in the Gospel of John, in chapter 10, he tells us, that I didn't come that you may be sad. I didn't come that you would experience just a crap kind of life. I came that you would have the fullness of life, to live life in its abundance. And that is why the Lord wants to give us his wine, wants to give us that excitement and that fulfillment. In moderation, of course, yes, yes. And when you're in it and all that kind of stuff. But the incredible gift of the Lord's Spirit that transforms ordinary life and makes it exciting, makes it worthwhile, makes it an incredible gift. I said that in the Gospel of John, nothing ever happens by accident, and that there are all these kind of comparisons and memories and echoes to other passages in the Old Testament and later in his own writings. When he talks here to Mary, when she makes this request to him, and she is just so open. And she says to the servants, just do whatever he tells you. That's the attitude of our heart. That's the desire of our heart. And the next time in the Gospel of John that we see Mary is at the cross. And there at the cross, you have Jesus. And again, he addresses his mother as woman. So here in the wedding feast of Cana, you have Jesus and his mother. You have the water and the wine. And then on the cross, you have Jesus and his mother. But this time, and again, John makes a huge deal of it. Remember when the side of Jesus is pierced by a lance? What flows out? Water and blood, I think was what people were saying. Water and blood. And so you have this incredible comparison between this wedding feast, the sign of the vitality and life and energy and excitement of life in God, and then you have the cross. And in John's Gospel, The cross is the moment of exaltation. The cross is the moment when Jesus is raised up there for all the world to see. The wonder and the splendor of the love of the Savior being poured out for all humanity. And there on the cross, with Mary at his side, you have Jesus. And now the wine is transformed into the blood of Jesus. For the Eucharist, we have water and wine. And we pray in the blessing of God. And that water and that wine are transformed and turned into the blood of Jesus. And the body of Jesus offered on the cross is transformed. The bread is transformed to become for us the body of Christ. The Lord feeds us. The Lord nourishes us. The Lord gives us his life and energy so that we can experience life to the full, the richness and vitality of what God has offered to us. Sure, water is good. Water sustains. Water provides all that we need. But it's not enough. God wants to give us more. God is always desiring to give us more. Zero gravity comes to an end tomorrow. But don't let the water be enough for you. Don't let ordinary life be enough. Allow the Spirit of God to come and change and transform anything that you do. To transform what it is you do at school. To transform your sport. To transform the way you listen to music. To transform the way that you appreciate movies and TV and art. To allow the Spirit of God to be there for you, to bring his life, his energy, and his vitality to play. That is surely the desire of God. Let those gifts that we receive in turn be for you a constant sign of God's presence, to receive the nourishment that you need at the table of the Lord, and to allow the bread and the wine to be for you the body and blood of Christ, giving you that life and energy and vitality to live and to be partners in the kingdom of God.